I still get a lot of my self-worth and value from Instagram, so follow me on Instagram.
This is the Staff Podcast at First. Join us each week as we discuss the topics that are on our minds. Marriage, social media, parenting, or topics that you ask about. Pull up a chair. This is the Staff Podcast at First.
All right, so today we're going to talk about social media and the platform that it's created for us in life, some ills and some great things about it. And so I think between the four of us, we'll have different ideas, but some really common ground in what social media is. And so what social media platforms do you currently use, and what is your favorite, would be my first question.
MySpace is my favorite.
MySpace. Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that a brand new platform?
It's brand new. You got to be really cutting edge to know about it.
Yeah, okay. I thought so. All right. Preacher, what do you use commonly?
I mostly use Facebook, but it spills over into my Twitter. Okay. What I put on Facebook goes on Twitter. I look at Instagram some, but I do very little on that.
Lauren?
I use Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and Instagram is my favorite.
Okay.
I'll second that. Instagram actually is. I use Facebook and Instagram, but Instagram is my favorite.
Oh, why would Instagram be your favorite? I'm not on Instagram, mm-hmm. So Instagram, I just think about photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it's my favorite, because I don't have to see all the crazy posts. Like, basically, okay. It's just pictures, so that's why
and
I like it better. And videos, yeah.
All right. I use Facebook exclusively. I have a Twitter account. I just don't use it. I like to read all the satire stuff on Twitter, so it's more entertaining. Mm-hmm. So why do you use social media?
I have about three purposes, and I think it's safe if you have purposes, rather than just casually being a lurker on there. My purpose, first of all, was to connect. My mother lived 500 miles away. She was 89 years old, and she was on Facebook. Susie's mom's 89 years old on Facebook, and so it was a way to connect. And we have lived a lot of places. We know a lot of people, have ministered to them, been in their churches, and so it was just a cool way to connect, reestablish some relationships, and keep up with people. But my main purpose on Facebook, and I don't even know if I would be on it if it weren't for this, is to bring inspiration, lightheartedness, encouragement. That's all I do. Every morning I put something on there that's gonna make somebody laugh or smile or feel encouraged or inspired, and then I'm pretty much off of it.
Yeah. I think just from watching your Facebook feed, you do a good job of doing that. And you have to be intentional.
You have to, because a lot of people have said you need to do the political thing during the election time and help us get this person elected and get that person out, but that's not my purpose.
Yeah.
I think it's easy because you see a lot of people who I think otherwise are probably good-natured people. I think the easy reaction as humans, though, is to use our platform to immediately jump to something negative. Mm-hmm. So if our fast food order isn't good, our first reaction is like, man, McDonald's stinks. You know, they're so slow. And like we were talking about before this was like, I don't think people realize that social media is basically just our voice on a bigger platform. So you have to consciously make a decision whether I'm gonna use it for good or use it for bad. Mm-hmm. Because if all I'm ever doing is bashing this fast food place or this doctor or that, your voice loses weight. And then nobody cares what you have to say eventually. So I think kind of like what Preacher does, I like to use mine in a way just to be positive, just make somebody smile something in some way, because I think the world is just so negative and so it got so many bad things going on. Let your voice be something that's positive for people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our mentality.
Yeah. Lauren, what about you?
Well, I take pictures all the time. If you know me at all, you know that. And so basically I just use it for that. Like I take pictures and then I post them. And that's kind of all I do. I really don't do like statuses and stuff like that on Facebook, but most of the time it's just pictures. So
I try to use it to stay connected with friends from different areas. When I was in McNeese and stuff, there was a movement where a lot of my friends ended up on the mission field. And so it's still a way for me to connect with about a dozen people that I'll never see. And so to connect with people, kind of keep up with them. And I'm not real good about posting. But whenever I do, I try to make it positive, or I like to brag on my wife
and my
children.
Like I love Mondays, like you just did.
Yeah, I love Mondays. I do. I really love Mondays.
I did a poll on my Facebook this morning. It was only up for about an hour. So I'm curious what y'all's take is. Social media as a whole, do you think it's had a positive effect on society or a negative effect on society?
My response to that is it's like most everything else in our culture. There's parallel tracks. There's good and bad. Some of the most visited websites on the internet are porn and Christian sites. And it's just, there's a balance, you know. And I think it's true with the social media that it's had both a negative and a positive effect. But that's the reason I say you have to have purpose. And my purpose is to stay on the good track. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy to be drawn into the negative track. Because it's very emotional sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel very strongly about things. I just don't put it on there. Mm-hmm. And so my purpose is to be on the good track. If I couldn't be on the good track, I wouldn't be on it at all.
There you go.
You have to have purpose and accountability, I think, is good.
I agree.
So has it hurt or helped, Lauren?
I think in an overall way, it's been more negative than good. But I mean, I think on the other hand, it is good. It is good to see your family. Like, I moved from Texas, so it is good to see those kind of things and all that. And so I would hate for that to be taken away from me. Mm-hmm. But I also, as a whole, I think it's been more of a negative thing in children and teens and just everything. Even moms, you know, bashing other moms and things like that. It's just, it's constant comparison, constant, you know, and so I think as a whole, it's been negative, although there are positive things on it. And I'm like, I don't post negative things, so it's positive in my life, but it can be easy to start, you know, comparing yourself to someone else or that kind of thing. So
let me just qualify. I agree with you about that, but I'm a realist.
Yeah.
And so my take is, well, it's here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whether you think it's positive or negative, it doesn't matter. It's
exactly.
Here.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
To glorify the Lord and encourage people. But I agree. I liked our culture better without it.
Yeah.
I agree. And that's one of the points that I mentioned was, I agree, it's here to stay. And my personal opinion is that it's amplified already the human condition, which I think is ultimately negative and sinful in a way. Not in a way, it is. It's just kind of amplified that. It's given people a bigger voice. So I think as a whole, while it does good things, social media has been a negative, a draw onto society. And so that kind of brings up another question I wanted to kind of bring up was kids on social media. Like, what are y'all thoughts on kids being on social media?
I can only speak from one parent's perspective on this first part of the answer, second part of the answer. I'll speak from a larger perspective of having been a student pastor for a long time. As a parent, I'm going to limit my child's exposure to X, you know, fill in the blank. But there's going to be a certain point to where I'm going to teach my son, my daughter, how to respond in that. So you feed them a little slack with some parental oversight in it. I have a 10-year-old, and he would probably enjoy being on certain social media, that's not an option for him. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't had to cross that bridge yet. But being open about it, we don't allow him to be on the internet unless he's sitting next to us and we're guiding him through it. Even games that are internet-based, he doesn't play those games that are internet-based. As a former student pastor, I saw more issues with students who were given free rein on the internet and on social media. Some really perverted things crept into their lives that established patterns now since they're adults that have been really difficult for them to deal with. So I would be more of a be careful in all things parenting, but really, you know, it's a little bit of a snake. You don't want to play with a snake, and so because it can bite you. So that's where I land.
Yeah, I think in this culture, a lot of, obviously I don't have children, but I'm a children's minister, but I think a lot of times people feel like they have to get their kid a phone. And I don't believe that. Like, we all were fine. Like, you were fine probably till you were really in your adult years, right? I'm just kidding. But, right? I'm just joking. But, like, I was okay being a seventh grader playing sports and not having a phone to text my mom when I got out of school. Like, you know, like, we made it work. And so I think a lot of people in this culture feel like, and I hear it all the time, like, parents say, my kid needs a cell phone. I need to know where they are. But you do know where they are. They're at school. And I know it's a loving thing. It's not a, you know, so we have to be careful, because if you give them that phone for you to be able to contact them, you're opening that up. And so if they don't have that phone, they don't even have that option. So we, as parents, have to be careful, you know, how early we give phones and that kind of thing, and not to, you know, kind of dive into the culture, but say, as a parent, you know, this is when you get a phone in our house. And it may be easier to say, whatever, just give me the phone, give them the phone. But, you know, you as a parent have to decide kind of when is it important for you to have a phone, and when do I just want you for ease to have a phone? And I think that's the thing that you would have to kind of decide as a family.
I think it's a parent situation. Even though Facebook like that has a minimum age of being on there, I see kids on there 10 years old. They say, I'm 18, and most of it's girls. And I don't know if there's a pattern there. We let both of our kids be on social media. One's over 40 and one's in the mid-30s. But I think accountability has to be strong. It's one of the most dangerous threats to children right now that's out there, just because everything in the world is at their fingertips. And if they do have their own phone without parental guidance, they're never unplugged. They're never unplugged from all the darkness, all the perverts, all those things out there. And it's true with adults. Susie and I have a joint account on Facebook, and that's intentional. But a friend of a friend posted one time, I see both of y'all on there, so which one of y'all cheated? And I thought, wow, what an indictment. You know, it never crossed my mind that, well, I have to get my wife in here because I cheated one time, you know. It's a threat, but especially with children. And there are ways parents can deal with that. My oldest grandson has a phone, but everything that goes to his phone goes to his mother's phone too. Everything. And so there are ways around it, you know. He's 15, so, you know, he probably needs a phone. He's out there by himself driving around doing this kind of thing now. So it's a parent situation.
I think that kids should probably have a cell phone early and social media. Now, I know I'm taking it further to the extreme, but I think this is why, and Preacher, you kind of mentioned it, social media is here to stay. And, you know, people my age and y'all too, we didn't grow up with it, we all of a sudden had it. And all the studies show that device and phone addiction is a real thing now. Social media addiction is a real thing. But we were just kind of inherited it. We got it and we learned it, and nobody taught us how to use it because, you know, we were all grown at that point. But I think kids, all this technology isn't going to go away. I don't think that there's just going to be a point when they're a certain age and it's like, okay, now you have the internet. I think we need to model that for them. If we're parents, model to them social media and device use and introduce that to them so they learn not to become addicted to it, not to let their self-value or their worth be determined based off of how many likes they get. I think as a whole, most people don't think, I need to teach my kids about this new frontier called the internet and social media.
Yeah, I think even though it's here to stay, and I hear what you're saying, even though it's here to stay, a child's morality can be so twisted before it's settled by exposing them to things that they shouldn't be exposed to. And so oversight, not dictatorship, but oversight is going to be essential. And I think the more you open that door, say it's a 15-year-old, the more you open that door, there's still going to need to be some parental oversight. You're not going to give any child that's under your roof a blank check for anything. Correct. And so I don't think you should give them a blank check for social media, because there are a lot of people who are ill-intended, and they're going to take advantage of the easiest person to take advantage of, And most of the time, that's going to be our children.
Yeah. See, that's where I'm coming from. I'm not saying they should have unbridled, here's the full access from an early age. I think in some ways we know that there's predators out there and they're looking for the weak. I think sometimes you almost have to let your kid, and I might be wrong, but I feel like you have to almost have to put them out there and let them see, okay, this person is not real. And teach them how to, I guess, and they're not going to get it at first, but I think how else do people learn other than to you have an account with them and kind of walk them through, okay, this is your Aunt Sandy, we know her, she's safe. This person we don't know, and look, there's evil in the world and there are people that try to manipulate you. This is probably not real. Yeah. Teach them how to use that and stuff that we take for granted. Kids don't necessarily just know that.
I've been in ministry over 50 years. So I came into ministry before there was call waiting, you know, before there was fax, before there were computers. And so I've seen the sweep of technology change. And I think, again, it's here. They're going to have to be trained and coached and protected. Mm-hmm. But in looking at the big picture, I think it's made parenting much more difficult.
Oh yeah.
I think parenting has to be a lot more intentional now, mm-hmm. all day long and into the night. You know, when they have access to these kind of things. Used to, you put them to bed with a book and you didn't worry about it now, but you put them to bed now and they get a phone. It's got to be much more intentional. And I'm not sure a lot of parents are up to that. It's just easier to let these things babysit your kid for you.
Years ago on another church staff, and when I say years ago, I mean 2002, 2003, whenever chat rooms were a new thing, file sharing capabilities. Mm-hmm. And so you're just a person with a, you know, a 12 mm-hmm. letter name up there. And so two FBI guys, one retired who was on a cyber division, even back then there was a lot of activity. And so they set up a computer and a computer put it up on the screen. And in the time that the guy was giving a lecture to the church family on a Sunday night, this guy created a bogus account that he was a 12 or 13 year old girl and had a few things that made it sound that she was a little promiscuous. Mm. Before the end of the night, that fake account was solicited by another man in another town.
Wow.
And so you're talking about, let's just say it was in 1 hour. So in 1 hour, your child, and it's even worse now, mm-hmm. in 1 hour, there is a potential without oversight, and even perhaps with oversight, that your child could be stalked and connected with some of the worst people ever.
Yeah.
It certainly gives bad people access to your kids where they did not have it before. And that's where the parenting has to come in to make sure you protect them from that. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a dangerous world out there. Somebody taught me not long ago the acrostic pig, that what goes on there, it's permanent. It's instant and it's global,
yeah.
and you can't ever reel it in. So you just, you know, in a flash of political emotion or something, you put something out there that doesn't characterize you at all, but you just put something stupid on there. It's there.
Yeah.
It's forever there.
And what you put there can really only ever hurt you ultimately. Mm-hmm. There's very few things you put that are going to help you, but there's a whole lot of things you can put that's going to disqualify you for a job. Because, you know.
Well, that's been true here.
Mm-hmm.
We have looked social media on people we were thinking about hiring and found out that what the resume is saying is not
correct.
What social media is saying.
Yep.
And we've backed away from them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We are part of the Orange Strategy here in the church, and it's a really great pattern of developmental learning and how that's important in our kids' life. And they have some resources too. What would they say, having studied and looked at this is a big picture for kids?
So they have a timeline actually for almost anything. Like you can look on there for social media, for all different things through the phases. And so they have a timeline where it says like zero when they're zero, when they're babies, like what should you do? You know, when they're one, two, three, all the way up. And it just kind of talks about how like whenever they're, you know, 1 year old, maybe you start introducing, you know, lights or whatever, and then you know when they turn three, then you can introduce like 30 minutes of TV. You know, they just go through every single age and they talk about like on your end as a parent and then on the child's level. So their timeline says eighth grade is when they would introduce their own phone.
Which makes them about 14.
14, yeah. And then 15, they would say, is whenever you would allow them to have social media. That's what they say. Studies, they've studied, and that's what they say. But they also say before that, they introduce them to it. They show them you could maybe do a joint account, which, of course, your kids wouldn't want that. But, I mean, they say that that would be helpful. You know, they obviously have seen technology by that time, obviously. So, but they say they wouldn't do that before then.
Let's kind of begin to wrap up. I want to give some encouragements. I'd like you to give some encouragements about how to handle social media things in your life as a parent or a couple, or just in general, even as a business person. The first thing that I've noticed that for me at some point, and I just had to get over it, you know, I make a post on Facebook that I think is incredible. It's profound. You know, it's gonna be life-changing. And I get two thumbs ups, I get two likes, and no shares. And so that, you know, that I can't find my self-worth, and I can't feel that because Lauren didn't like my post that she doesn't value me, which that's sketchy at times, I know. So I have to
find. I've counseled her about that, so
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
We have a private group where we talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, good, good. I feel much better now. You should post about that. And so I cannot find my self-worth in a group of, and be blunt, faux friends that are just out there, ambiguous people that have signed on to an account. But I have to ultimately, and that's not a Jesus juke, but I have to ultimately find my value in who God has created me to be and who He is changing me to be. And I can't let media saturation distract me from that. And so I would encourage people to just simply don't find value in it. It's a good tool, but a terrible slave. Our master, that is.
Yeah.
So that's my encouragement. Jared, what would you say?
My encouragement is I still get a lot of my self-worth and value from Instagram, so follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, always want more than me, and you never get more followers than me.
One day, now I'm going to plug it. I think for everybody that's listening or watching that's a Christian, I think social media, rightfully and wrongfully, has been accused of isolating people. It does, but I think that trend started long before social media. People started shutting down their porches and they went inside and they stopped meeting with people a long time ago. Nowadays, it's not socially acceptable just to stop by and visit with people. So I think if you're a Christian and you want to share Jesus with people, social media has opened that door again, because now people are inviting you into their living room with your positive message, assuming you don't taint that with, you know, blasting Burger King.
Yeah, so leverage that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, like with any other movement and culture, you can either fight against it or you can redeem it. Mm-hmm. And so I've chosen to redeem it. Our church has chosen to redeem it. You know, we're out there, and you go out where the people are. And I think there's such a needy culture right now for attention, that because everyone's anonymous, they've shut their doors, they move into their house, they don't want strangers there, they don't want anybody on the porch, they don't even want the pastor to come visit them. They've locked themselves up. I think you're going to find this self-worth an issue on there, because they can be somebody on there. But I agree with you, Bo. It's not what people say or like about me, it's what God has said I am, that I get my self-worth from.
Well, I just think not to be, you know, don't be discouraged. Like, it's here. Like, we've talked about this whole video. Like, it's here. It's going to be here. And so just as parents, you know, find what works for you. I mean, like, not all 11-year-olds are the same. Not all 15-year-olds are the same. And so your 15-year-old may not need a cell phone, but your 10-year-old may be ready. And so I just feel like as parents, it's so easy to get discouraged. And as women, it's so easy to get discouraged with comparing, and even men, I don't know. So I just feel like you need to stay true to what you feel like God has told you in this you know, in this topic of social media. You know, if you feel like the Lord tells you, you know, your child's ready, then good, do it. But if you don't, then I feel like you need to stay true to what God says. And so just stay encouraged, be a positive light in this crazy, you know, world.
First chapter of Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get wisdom and understanding. So you just make wise decisions.
Yes. Yeah. And most of the time, the wise decision is the most simple one to make.
Yes.
But sometimes it costs, yeah. It costs some things. I just want to, some of the things that you may have questions about that you would like to hear from us about, maybe shoot those in the comments here, send us those things, and we'll do our best to address them. If you have any questions pertaining to what we've talked about in this particular podcast, you can ask those questions as well. What Preacher just said is true of us, and we know that the promise for us in wisdom, in getting wisdom, is that God will give us wisdom when we ask Him. So if we don't have acute answers to give you, we can certainly try to help you get those answers. And so we just so appreciate this platform, because, you know, we've talked about social media, and what we're doing here is shooting a video that's going to be posted on social media. So this is a good example. If you want to have something positive to share, I hope that you can share this conversation with your friends and help get some answers. So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy it. Let us know if you have any questions.
The Jared Young, Instagram.